I'm Derek Bird, editor of Fly Fusion Magazine, and I'm chatting with Gilbert Rowley today. Gilbert is a filmmaker out of Utah and has had two films accepted in the IF4 over the last couple of years. And he's also done some recent work on an instructional video called Modern Nymphing. So welcome, Gilbert.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be chatting with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah. And your company, Capture Adventure Media, it's been busy, like you've been churning out some really good stuff lately. Tell me, how did you get started as a filmmaker? Were you like one of these guys who's kind of always had a GoPro fixed to his head, or are you somebody that's just kind of had some recent interest in film and filmmaking?
About 6 or 7 years ago, I started messing around with the idea of making YouTube videos, things that would be more action-adventure focused. There are some YouTubers in the mainstream world that put out some really fun content, and I wanted to kind of incorporate some of that in the fly fishing world. So I picked up a camera, started trying to figure out how to use it. I actually teamed up with Western Water Media editor and filmer Phil Tuttle for a couple of fun projects. I was
right,
back when
yeah.
we were both starting. Yeah, we were both starting out, kind of cutting our teeth, trying to figure things out. And we made a couple of fun edits. And it just kind of rolled from there. So every year I would make a dozen or so videos that I'd put on my YouTube channel. They weren't anything spectacular by any means. But
what would you say would be some of the, like kind of, you know, starting out as a filmmaker, what's like one or two of the greatest challenges that a new filmmaker would have?
Yeah, in the fly fishing industry, what you're going to run into is oftentimes instead of being the one fishing, you're going to be the one picking up the camera. And for me, that's still the biggest challenge, to be honest with you.
that would be really tough, actually.
Yeah. I mean, let's say you're filming some great epic hatch that's taking place. Well, in order to capture some of those rises, some of those slow-mo takes, things like that, you got to put the rod down, and that's not easy in that instance. And then the other thing is just figuring out your style, just figuring out what feels good to you. The way that I look at it is if I make something that I'm proud of, that I like, I'm assuming that I'm pretty common in a lot of ways, and there's going to be other people that can relate to it and that will like it as well. So, you know, you want to be different. You want to kind of establish your style without forcing it. So that takes a little bit of time for it to naturally come out. If you think that's going to happen in your first 5 or 6 or even a dozen films, you're probably wrong. You're going to be figuring things out along the way and just be patient with it.
Yeah. So kind of always maturing as a filmmaker in a way, and you have to be kind of okay with that, eh?
Yeah, okay with it, and also humble enough to look back on your past projects and know that they probably weren't the best, that they helped you along the process, and that's okay.
Well, it would be, you know, it'd be super interesting to see, and you've probably already done this, but to like put some of your first work beside Jungle's Edge, because and Jungle's Edge, for those people that are listening in, Jungle's Edge is Gilbert's it's his film this year in the IF4, the International Fly Fishing Film Festival. And it's doing really well. Like the audience feedback on it is extremely positive, and it's garnering lots of votes. And I mean, it's kind of this, I don't know what you'd call it, but it's like this confluence of great cinematography, huge tarpon, a natural storyline, and there's even some humor in there. And so it's the film that has everything, I would say. Give me some background on this film. Was it one of those, you know, was it one of those times where it was like easy to film, or was it something where you're out there and you're like fighting with the waves and you're, you know, fighting with this and that, or was it something that just came together pretty naturally?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. It was something that was a bit of a challenge, not because of the lack of fish or fishing opportunities or anything like that, but from a filmmaker standpoint, I'm sitting on the middle of this boat in the ocean with these two guys, Mark and Alex. And
yeah.
you're big game fishing at that point. You know, it's not a numbers game at all, so it's very unpredictable. We're fishing for giant tarpon primarily, and these tarpon they're coming out of this, well, they're kind of staging in at the mouth of a river that's dumping in the ocean, and it mucks up the water, so it's a lot of blind casting. Mm-hmm. And occasionally you'll see a tarpon roll, and that'll kind of give you an idea of where some fish might be holding. But for the most part, Mark and Alex are casting and retrieving, and I'm sitting there with the camera, keeping it awake, waiting for that moment for that giant tarpon to get hooked up, because the minute they strip set and go tight, that fish erupts And I don't know where the fish is at. So it could be on the right or the left or the middle. Half the time the fly line's shooting out towards the left and the fish is jumping 30 more yards to the right.
Oh, man.
So there were some challenges. I remember in particular the first giant tarpon. I wasn't ready. You know, I'm a freshwater guy primarily.
Right.
And Mark hooks this fish and just says something along the lines of, got him, you know, and sets the hook. And instantly that fish is going nuts. I mean, they're doing these, you know, 4 feet jumps out of the water, 100-plus pound fish. And I blew it. I totally missed the first three jumps completely before I even had the camera.
Oh, man.
And I didn't know how many opportunities like that we would have. I was hoping for a lot, but you never know. And I remember just after that, we ended up not getting that fish to the boat. And reviewing the footage and just feeling very foolish for having not been ready in that instance. So, we had some challenges that way. So, it was fun to learn. It was fun to be in that atmosphere and try to figure all that out.
You also have another film out right now, and it's an instructional video, and it's doing quite well from what I hear. It's called Modern Nymphing. We talked about this, actually. You and I talked about this a little bit the other day. Can you speculate as to why it's doing so well? Like it's an instructional video, but you've done a few things that are a little bit different on it, and so I've watched the full instructional video and I really appreciated it. Maybe give us some insight into why you think it's doing so well. Like people are buying this.
Yeah, thank you. So I teamed up with Devin Olson and Lance Egan, two members of Fly Fishing Team USA. The instructions exceptionally well in the film, but what I tried to bring to the table was, instead of just having the instruction be the highlight of the video, I tried to make it as visually appealing as it was instructional. So I'd like to think that I brought a lot of what I present to the film festival in those type of situations to an instructional video that basically try to make it as enjoyable to watch as possible, so that people, you know, I'm from Utah, being here, we had a lot of snow this year, and I was hoping that folks would watch this film to warm up, you know, get out of that cabin fever, you know, gloomy winter feeling that we have some days by watching some really fantastic fishing footage, not just the instructional part. And I think we accomplished that. Devin and Lance were very, things that they flowed organically on the film. There's a natural feel to it. And we were able to capture a lot of really fun footage and present that for people to watch, not only to learn, but to have fun doing it.
And I would totally 100% agree with you, because like watching it, you actually have some absolutely stunning fish footage in there, trout footage in there too, right? So you're, you know, it's not just simply instruction, but like you said, you balanced it out really well. So there's this huge appeal to it, and the fellas that you're working with, they're very natural teachers as well, and so it's I was super impressed. I think one other thing that may, and this isn't necessarily from a filmmaker standpoint, but this might be more from kind of where fly fishing is at right now. But you know, years gone by, it's been kind of like dry fly, dry fly, dry fly only type concept.
Yeah.
But I think now people are a lot more open, especially when we're talking about trout. But now people are a lot more open to, you know, different methods. And so I think, you know, in North America anyways. And so I think that, you know, coming out with a nymphing video that provides some instruction and kind of a, you know, is bringing over some concepts from Europe. I think, you know, the timing of it is just fantastic, because people are, they just seem to be more open to different methods of fishing rather than kind of just simply dry fly fishing. I mean, truth be told, I think it would be fair to say that we'd all, you know, rather catch fish on a dry fly, but sometimes, you know, the fish just aren't taking dry flies.
No, you're absolutely right. We all love to see a fish rise to a dry. We live for that. But oftentimes that's not the case. And I would say that there's a reason why competitive anglers, a lot of people don't like the thought of competition fly fishing, and that's okay. But if they think of it along the lines of these guys who they're doing everything they can to catch the most amount of fish possible, what techniques are they using? Can I incorporate that in my own arsenal of techniques? If so,
right.
I think I'll be a much better angler by learning the things that they're doing. And that's what the film's about, is taking what they have learned. They've been fine-tuning these techniques for over a decade. things that they've learned from other anglers across the world. And it truly is what they found in most situations, not all situations. If we tried to say that it was the silver bullet, we would be lying to people. That's not the case. There's definitely times when, dry flies or streamers or even indicator nymphing in certain situations will outperform, tight line modern nymphing techniques that we call Euro nymphing. But for the most part, if people are open to the concepts and open to learning these things and able to fish subsurface, the cool thing about, not to ramble too much about it, but the cool thing about European nymphing is you're really going down into the world of the trout. Instead of making them come to ours, you're down there with these artificial flies in a place that's totally foreign to us. Even if you snorkel the river, you still don't know what's going on down there with currents and everything taking place. And to be able to be down and deceiving trout in that realm, you set the hook and you see that giant golden flash of a brown trout. There's something very, very, very extremely rewarding there. It's not a fish rising to a dry, but it's a fantastic feeling and a great way to get some fish.
Right. Yeah. Well, congratulations on that film. Like I say, I think you did a great job, and it's timely too, right? I think it's kind of hitting North American fly fishers at a great time. So congratulations. Just as we finish up today, because I know you got to run, but just as we finish up today, I thought, I know a little bit of your background. You spent time as a fly fishing guide, and so I thought we'd maybe walk down the road a little bit about maybe just let the audience know what the strangest occurrence is that you've seen while you've been out fly fishing or guiding.
I love that question. I really do have to think of some things that might be a little bit more appropriate to share on the air. Because when you're out there on the river, you never know what you're going to run into. But there's a particular river that I guide on that has a lot of people that come down on inner tubes in the summertime, kind of the fun family adventure. There's also a lot of partiers that have their inner tube with alcohol behind them and they're having a good time. oftentimes that provides a lot of good humor. One time in particular that I remember, we're out there and here comes this group of college kids, and half of them can't stay on their tubes. They're falling off in the river, and they're surprised that we're still catching fish. Fish are kind of, they're used to it. They see it all the time. but this girl that obviously wasn't in her best senses yells out, "What are you guys catching? Salmon?" We just started chuckling. We're like, no, so we put out some response like, "No, we're actually targeting sharks." She halfway jumped off her tube, ready to get out of the river. I couldn't believe she believed anything that we were saying. But those instances are pretty common and they're a good time. But
that's great. I mean, fishing. I've fished some rivers that are a little more, that have a little more traffic in the summer. Rivers like the Bow and stuff out of Calgary. And you definitely see some interesting interesting contraptions. People like you said, just partiers out on the river, just having a great time. I saw one contraption where these four guys, they had actually tied four of their tubes together, and they had a little platform on it where they were just kind of sitting and drinking their beers. But they had a flagpole on their little boat that they'd created, and they were flying the Jolly Roger. So I guess I guess there are parts of Alberta that still have pirates. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, well, it was great chatting with you today, Gilbert. I'm looking forward to seeing what you have in the future, because as I watch your films each year, I just, you come up with some absolutely stunning footage and great storylines. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what you have kind of coming up next or around the bend. And so thank you again for joining me today.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Gilbert.